welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the man who is hosting another episode of Spiritual Perspectives, as we continue our exploration of what we mean when we say we believe in God. How many of you believe in God and regularly do evil things? Do you believe in God from a biblical perspective? Just wondering. Well, actually, no, I'm not just wondering. I want us to really look into that with honesty, with integrity. Do we really believe in God? If we are consistently making decisions about our behaviors, constantly doing things that we know are evil, do we truly believe in God? And here's the thing now, I don't want us to get confused. I'm not asking, do we have gifts of the Spirit given to us by God? Do we have special abilities given by God? And still do things that we know are wrong. And when I say do things, again, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about a lifestyle that is typified by sinful actions. Things that you know God is displeased with, and you pursue those activities anyway on a regular basis as part of your lifestyle. It's what you do. Remember, gifts and callings come without repentance. God gives people special abilities. I mean, I have seen people who have truly the gift of the word of knowledge. And they can just know what God's will is in a given situation. There's just information that they have supernaturally. And they're not saved. There are people who have lived a homosexual lifestyle, but still have that gift of the word of knowledge. There are people who, on the other hand, go to church on a regular basis. They pray, preach, but they also do wickedly. They work to bring about the downfall of someone who they know is a truly godly person, striving to please God. You're taking sides with folks who are against this person. How about the ones who go to church, they preach, they pray? The image, the form of godliness is there, but they slander on a regular basis. They gossip on a regular basis. They lie habitually. They constantly sow seeds of discord, trying to tear saints from each other, getting the saints to be at odds with each other. They do this as a lifestyle. Do they truly believe in God? Let's explore that some more in just a few. But before we begin to explore that some more, let's take a listen to another encounter. Living Waters University, they're calling it. Gentleman was having a conversation with someone who apparently was considered to be an atheist, was considering herself an atheist. This took place at Huntington Beach, California.
Do you believe a book, a physical book, can make itself from nothing?
Yeah,
full
no.
Color, no, it's impossible, isn't it?
Yep.
Sequential page numbers, coherent sentences, full color cover, utterly impossible for a book to make itself.
Yep.
Without the realm of possibility, okay?
Maybe.
Do you know what DNA is?
Yes.
Can you tell me what it is?
It is your, pretty much you.
It's me.
You're made of.
It's more than me, it's you too.
But you're made of.
Yeah, it's the same as called the Book of Life, because it's full of coherent information. How to make your eyes, your ears, your brain, your height, your skin, your personality. Everything was in your DNA from the moment you were born, conceived.
Yeah.
Okay, Kylie, what would you think of the mentality of someone who thought a book could make itself from nothing? That'd be dumb.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. What would you think of someone who thought DNA made itself? That'd be super dumb. That's an atheist.
Yeah.
No offense, but that's where it's at. All these things we see around us, we can see the genius of God's creative hand. The building is proof of a builder. The painting is proof of a painter. Creation is proof of the creator, okay?
What do you think about his logic so far? Does it sound sound? A book is evidence of a writer. The creation is evidence of the creator. Book cannot create itself. DNA cannot create itself. So apparently, all of this is evidence of a creator. What are your thoughts? Let's keep listening.
So now we know God exists.
Okay.
So you're no longer an atheist. Is that right?
Yay!
That's wonderful. Let's give her a big hand for being such a good sport.
Yay!
And for being so honest. So, Kylie. We now know God exists, and we know he demands morality because we have a conscience.
Yeah.
You're not like a dog or a cat or a horse. You believe in right and wrong. If someone killed your mother, you cry out for justice.
Yeah.
Animals don't do that. We're like that because we're made in the image of God. Your conscience, or conscience, means with knowledge. Okay? So here we go. Gotta speak to your conscience. You think you're a good person?
Kind of.
You are a good person.
Yes.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Yeah.
Countless?
Yeah.
Have you ever stolen something, even if it's small?
Yes.
Like a diamond ring or something?
Not that expensive, but yes.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
What do you mean in vain?
OMG.
Yes.
Okay, that's called blasphemy. It's very serious. I'm not judging you, but by your own admission, you're a lying thief and a blasphemer. We've looked at 4 of the 10 commandments. If God judges you by the 10 commandments on Judgment Day, will he be innocent or guilty?
Probably guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
You love life.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose everything God gave you and end up in a place called hell. It may not concern you, but it deeply concerns me. You know, I've got a beautiful wife. I'd rather be with her than talking with you. But I'm here because I care about you. No other reason. You thought you were a good person. You're trusting in your goodness to save you. Transfer your trust from yourself to the Savior, okay? The minute you do that, God will forgive your sins and grant you the gift of everlasting life. Okay, Kylie, do you have a Bible at home?
No.
Anyone in your family a Christian?
Yeah.
You've been praying for her? So, this is the answer to your mom's prayers, okay?
Our YouTube channel has over 50 million views. Help us to continue to make our...
And it's interesting that that comes from Living Waters. The young lady looked like she may have been a teenager. She looked like she may have been 17, 18 years old or so. And when they got to the point where he confirmed that her mother had been praying for her, she began to tear up. A lot of energy coming from that man. And I am with him. I really take my hat off to Kylie for having been so willing to sit there and listen to him and reason with him and not just argue. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I wanted her to agree with everything he said immediately just for the sake of agreeing with him. That's not what I mean. What I mean is I think that any time that any of us enter into a debate on any subject, we should go into that debate willing to listen and think through the debate, both sides of the debate, truly hearing what is said and not feeling like we just got to win the debate, but making it our goal to discover truth. There are so many churchgoers who do not have a strong interest in discovering truth. And when they do discover it, because it's still important to them to win the debate, or at the very least, to not have lost the debate, they're not humble enough to just admit in the end that they were wrong. I've heard people start out with one position in a debate, and as it became clear that the person that they were debating had the better points and was proving their point and was proving that the other person's position was wrong, it's been so interesting. I've listened as the one who started out on the wrong side of the debate said, well, that's what I was saying all along. Absolutely false. If you could have played back a tape, a video, a DVD, CD, something, you would have heard that person having made a very different point in the beginning than they said they agreed with in the end. Too many people enter into debates for the purpose of winning as opposed to for the purpose of discovering truth so that they can then decide whether or not to change their position on whatever subject the debate was about. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage all of us, let's be courageous enough and honest enough, strong enough to go into a debate still thinking and listening. Listening and thinking with a willingness and a readiness to admit we are wrong when we are wrong. And then change our position when we discover that we're wrong. I admire Kylie because even with a lot of people looking on, it was not important to her to debate for the purpose of saving face or anything else. She was willing to listen and to think through what was being said. And when the man made a point that she agreed with, she admitted she agreed with that point. A lot of people won't do that. You make a point that they know is right and true. You know what they'll often do? They'll dismiss that point. They'll act as though they never heard it, and they'll go to something else. They'll bring up something else rather than deal with that point that was just made that they know is true and right. And you know why they won't admit that it's true and right? First of all, because they don't want to admit they were wrong about that point. And secondly, because they don't want an admission to that point to move them a step closer to admitting that their whole proposition is wrong. And so if they can just refuse to admit that any of the points is right, they can still end the debate with their position being held and with them saving face. That is a sign of weakness. That's exactly what that is. That is weakness on display because they don't have the strength that it takes and the courage that it takes and the integrity that it takes to just simply listen to point after point, dealing with point by point by point. Hey, okay, that point you made is a good one. And I do agree with that. I didn't see it that way at first, maybe even disagreed with that. But now that you've explained it and I see it, I agree with you on that point. Okay, but what about this? See, that's a much better way to approach it rather than just ignoring the point and moving to something else because pride won't let the person admit this point is right. Fear won't let that person move closer to admitting that their whole supposition is wrong. And there are a lot of churchgoers who handle it just that way, refuse to acknowledge that anything that the person on the other side of the debate is right. I admire Kylie. I really admire her. Even if she had not admitted that anything that man was saying was right, she could have just refused to have engaged him any longer. She was actually standing up on a platform that elevated her by about 2 feet. And she could have stepped off the platform and just walked off. She didn't do that. She stood there, and with respect, she listened. And she thought through what he said. She thought through everything he was saying. And when she agreed with what he said, she didn't try to beat around the bush. She just said point blank, yeah. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Well, okay. Oh, man, how much better life would be if we had more churchgoers who were like young Kylie. People with integrity and courage to just say right is right, wrong is wrong. I was wrong. Thanks for correcting me. When we don't live like that, but rather we enter into debate after debate after debate, with our minds made up, we're going to prove we're right, no matter how wrong we are. And we'll actually lie by saying, I disagree with you. That's not true, when we know what the person is saying is true. I'm not talking about when we're undecided, we truly don't know. I'm talking about when we know that what the other person said is true and right, we say that what they said is wrong. We say we disagree with them. And God is seeing the dishonesty of our hearts. And that's the way we live. That is our lifestyle. Do we really believe in God? Listen to what Benson's commentary says about believing in God. Particularly, we're bringing this from Romans 10 and 14. And they ask one of the questions, how can a person call on him in whom they have not believed? How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And he has some questions that I think are thought-provoking. This is what he says, for how shall they call upon him with sincerity in whom they have not believed, in whose existence, power, and goodness they have not believed, or in whom, as capable of hearing and able and willing to grant their requests, they have no confidence, or whom they do not believe to be a proper object of worship or worthy to be invoked with divine honors and adoration? How many churchgoers pretend to love God? They'll dance in church. They'll pray in church. They'll throw up their hands in church. But they'll also lie in church. They'll also sow discord in church. They're showing that they're not willing to give God his proper worship. They don't really see him as being. They don't really believe that he is a proper object of worship, worthy to be invoked with divine honors and adoration. Remember now, this is a matter of the heart. This is about the heart and not just the lips. The lips count, but only when the heart and the mind are sincere. If the words of worship and words of praise come through the mouth, but from a heart that is filled with dishonesty, disingenuousness, genuineness, then what comes through the lips is worthless. It means nothing to God. They that worship God must, the Lord Jesus said, worship him in spirit and in truth. They must be absolutely sincere about their worship. How are we doing when it comes to our belief in God? Do we truly believe in him? I'm not asking, do we really show up at church? Do we truly believe in God?
In the name of love, God is reaching down.